The New South Wales government has unveiled its budget, along with an electricity infrastructure roadmap. Matt Keane, Minister of Energy and Environment, said on Sky News,
"This is our plan to modernise the grid, create jobs, drive investment into New South Wales, $58 billion worth of investment by the 2040s, and also deliver some of the cheapest energy anywhere in the world."
Bob Carr, former New South Wales Premier and industry professor at the UTS Institute for Sustainable Futures and School of Business, agrees that the policy will lower electricity prices.
I think the big thing to look for is the plunging price of renewables. What I find remarkable is that even in this year, dominated by COVID-19, energy prices are driven downwards by more renewables coming onto the market. And in August, we had a real milestone. It was the lowest energy price in modern history. And in Australia, we've seen comparable developments with low wholesale prices for energy because the renewables flooding the system.
The policy aims to attract up to $32 billion in private investment into regional energy infrastructure by 2030. Companies like BlueScope have already invested $20 million in renewable energy infrastructure. Bob Carr says that the private sector is leading the way in transitioning to renewables in accordance with emission targets.
Well, first of all, they're taking account of the new international setting. They've got to take account of the Paris Accords and the need to deliver on the key goal, that is no temperature rise for the planet beyond 1.5 or 2 degrees. And they've got to take account of what the world's biggest consumers of thermal coal are now saying, the world's biggest consumers of carbon are now saying, Japan, South Korea, China, and that is that we're going to be net zero emissions in 2050, in China's case, 2060. So this is a different setting, and boardrooms in companies as diverse as those in insurance and banking through to private equity funds, superannuation, pension funds, they've all got to take account of the fact that if they put money into coal or gas, that is into carbons, they're going to end up with stranded assets that the world won't find acceptable.
The New South Wales plan seeks to transform coal-reliant regions such as the Central West Orana and New England regions into renewable energy zones. Bob Carr agrees with the plans.
And another thing I think that the state government's got right is in designating zones for renewable investment, because we're going to see that these zones are oversubscribed. There's going to be no shortage of people wanting to put money into solar and wind. If we concentrate that investment in these zones, these new facilities are easily connected to the existing power grid.
The roadmap will also invest $50 million between 2021 and 2030 to develop the green hydrogen sector. Bob Carr also agrees, emphasising the importance of hydrogen.
They need to be bringing new industry in. Take green hydrogen, for example. There are 50 green hydrogen projects that have become viable this year because of the plunging price of renewable power. And the government is to be commended for talking about the Hunter Valley as a location for green hydrogen investment. It makes sense because you've got a power grid infrastructure that services the Hunter. The government needs to go a step further, and that is look at former open-cut coal mining sites as being suitable as locations when the sites are exhausted, when they're no longer physically or economically viable, as locations for solar panels, industrial-scale solar, because that generates jobs. The installation and the servicing generates jobs. The transition is coming, and if government does nothing to subsidise thermal coal or thermal power, then the market is going to see a change. An international market determines how viable the coal mines of these regions are, and the international market is saying we're going to buy less coal. China, Japan, South Korea, and India are planning to buy less thermal coal because of the changes they are delivering in their own economies.
While the New South Wales plan focuses on renewables and a target of net zero emissions by 2050, the federal government's energy plan still remains centred on a gas-led recovery and ignores emission targets. However, Bob Carr says that the federal government will eventually have to change its tune.
Certainly, you're right to draw attention to the contrast between what the New South Wales government is doing and the federal government. The federal government refusing to make that commitment to net zero emissions. But still, all state governments, the Business Council of Australia, the Farmers Organisation, the company boardrooms are all drawn to net zero emissions. And the private sector is making decisions based on its inevitability. So the private sector is leaving the federal government behind it. The private sector, banks, for example, insurance companies, are all acting as if we're headed to net zero emissions by 2050. And in practical terms, they're not putting a cent into thermal coal. And increasingly, you will see them not putting money into gas.
The state bill has bipartisan support from Labor and the Greens. State opposition leader Jody McKay.
But there's now a kind of war waging again between the Nationals and the Liberals. And so this great energy reform bill, which is about, you know, creating renewable energy precincts, seeing $30 billion in private investment and government supportive of that, that's just, it's sort of all come to a grinding halt. So it's gone through our house. We just don't know where it is in the upper house at the moment.